Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition, Saturday, May 15th, 2021. Permian Basin Gives Drives to Take Place Tuesday by Stuart Doreen, S-D-O-R-E-E-N at HurstNP.com. Permian Basin Gives takes place Tuesday, and officials are hoping to again raise more than $2 million for nonprofits around Midland and the region. Last summer, Midland organizers held Permian Basin Gives for the first time and raised $2.578 million for 101 nonprofits and other organizations. Not only did Permian Basin Gives surpass its goal by more than 54%, but it put itself on Midland's philanthropic calendar and gave nonprofits another avenue to reach donors, even during the most difficult times. Lori Johnson, director of the Nonprofit Management Center, said 131 organizations from around the Permian Basin and Trans-Pecos have signed up this year. Permian Basin Gives takes place all day. Those interested in giving can go to the permianbasingives.org and connect with nonprofits that interest them. She said social media drives much of the interest in the event, but organizations have been proactive with mailers and reaching out with their own marketing to notify potential donors about the event. Johnson told the Reporter Telegram that she feels comfortable this year's version will beat the $2.3 million goal. She did say there is a little uncertainty about the second edition of the one-day fundraising event. Raising money is always a challenge, she said. However, she added there is concern there might be donor fatigue as the community was so generous last year. She said that while there will be a challenge grants available, the number of matching grants will be down as foundations want nonprofits to increase the number of donors they have. So far, everybody is optimistic, who, along with Kay Kreitz and Autumn Vest, organized the first Permian Basin Gives in August. The donors seem to be very energized to support the community. They saw the impact the nonprofit sector had last year. We were the ones meeting the needs of the community. Johnson said this year's version of Permian Basin Gives will include a telethon that Basin PBS will carry from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. She also said the three network affiliates, KMID, KOSA, and KWES, also will carry the 30 minutes. Go online to permianbasingives.org. Pioneer CEO. Limiting growth is good for investors, industry's volatility issues. By Stuart Doreen. What does a higher price for West Texas Intermediate mean? Pioneer CEO Scott Sheffield said during an interview with CNBC that higher prices will mean more money for investors. It is the new game plan for keeping investors and OPEC Plus happy. I've made a commitment that if oil prices move above $70, we're limiting our growth to no increase this year and next year 5%, Sheffield told CNBC. So I've been asked the question, if it goes to $80 or $90, it's more money into the investor's pocket. Sheffield talked about Pioneer's acquisition of DoublePoint, addressed the shift from high growth to high returns for investors, and how the industry is being proactive in solving one of the biggest issues of the past decade, taking the volatility question out of the oil price environment. Here are takeaways from Sheffield's interview with CNBC. Sheffield said Pioneer is committed to giving 80% of its free cash flow back to the shareholders. He said the company's first variable dividend will be approved by the board next February. And so we're moving away from this generation of grow, grow, grow to distributing over half of our cash flow back to the investor base. Pioneer is moving away from the growth sectors of the big mutual funds and are seeing mutual funds that come in from the dividend and value sector starting to buy into our space. And so that's what we want long term, those dividend paying funds that want dividends long term. When asked if oil was in a super cycle, he said definitely not, and that the U.S. industry was moderating its growth. We're taking the biggest issue off the table with OPEC. OPEC is very pleased in OPEC Plus, and we've been in this range, $60 to $70, over the last 4 months, and I think we're going to that range over the next several years, he said. Pioneer has transitioned from spending all of its cash flow to growth, and it will spend about 50% and limit growth to about 5% a year over the next 10 to 15 years and distribute that free cash flow back to the investor. When you calculate it, it's over an 8% dividend. There's no money, there's no reason for this stock to stay where it is if we're going to start paying an 8% dividend, and so it's really a new game plan. He expects that public CEOs will commit to setting aside to less growth and setting aside more money for dividends. That, he said, will keep OPEC Plus members more moderate. We are not going to capture market share away from OPEC and OPEC Plus, and so I think we're taking the volatility question out of the oil price environment, which is one of the biggest issues we've had in the last 10 years. The following interview with Pioneer CEO Scott took place on Thursday. CNBC. And during the conference call, I believe you said, we're going to pick up another 5 million barrels a day of demand toward the end of the year. We'll pick up another 2 million barrels in 2022. So you're talking to 8 million to 9 million barrels a day within a year. Do you still feel comfortable with that? Sheffield. Pioneer has had a great quarter. Our recent acquisition, DoublePoint, added over $5 billion of free cash flow over the next several years. So now we're going to have about $23 billion of free cash flow, and we're committed to giving about 80% of that back to the shareholders. And so we're creating a variable dividend. It'll be approved by the board next February. Our first variable dividend. And so we're moving away from this generation of grow, grow, grow to distributing over half of our cash flow back to the investor base. CNBC. And is that going to change your investor base in some way? Sheffield. Yes, it has. We were mostly a growth industry over the last several years with the tremendous growth in both oil and gas shales. Now we have moved away from the growth sectors of the big mutual funds, and we've started to see several mutual funds that come in from the dividend and value the sector starting to buy into our space. And so that's what we want long term, those dividend paying funds that want dividends long term. CNBC, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked the CEO of Freeport and McMoran regarding copper last week. Is crude in a super cycle? Sheffield, no, I don't think so. I don't think crude is. I think a lot of this rare earth minerals, copper, aluminum, could be in a super cycle, but oil is definitely not. I'm a firm believer that with the U.S. industry moderating its growth, that we're taking the biggest issue off the table with OPEC. OPEC is very pleased in OPEC Plus, and we've been in this range $60 to $70 over the last 4 months, and I think we are going to that range over the next several years. So we've taken the big issue off the table, and that U.S. oil shale growing too much too fast over the last several years. CNBC. We've had these cycles, and several of them now really over the last decade, in terms of crude prices. And what we've seen in the past is that when the price of crude has started to recover and climb higher, so too have the rig counts here in the U.S. It seems like perhaps we're in a shift now. And certainly from Pioneer standpoint, it seems like where even as the price of crude begins to climb higher, your production levels are not following suit. You're staying a bit more disciplined. How do you see the economics around that? And does it represent a change in the way that U.S. producers like Pioneer are now operating? That's a good question. There's been a tremendous shift, and I returned to Pioneer a couple of years ago when I went out with our executive team and talked to all of our top shareholders. We came up with a new plan to move forward. Instead of spending 110% of our cash flow to grow over the last 10 years, we're going to be spending about 50% to grow and limit growth to about 5% a year over the next 10 to 15 years and distribute the free cash flow back to the investor. So in the earnings call, I actually mentioned that when you look at the amount of free cash flow we're going to be generating, our dividend, once we start paying the base and the variable, when you calculate it, it's over an 8% dividend. There's no reason for this stock to stay where it is if we're going to start paying an 8% dividend. And so it's really a new game plan. I think most public CEOs are committed to that. It's going to have OPEC and OPEC Plus moderate. We are not going to capture market share away from them. And so I think we're taking the volatility question out of the oil price environment, which is one of the biggest issues we've had in the last 10 years. CNBC. Although you're still looking at what $2.95 billion to $3.25 billion in terms of your capital budget, right? It's not like you're going to be spending. You're going to stick to that, though, regardless of what happens to the price of oil. Sheffield. Exactly. I've made a commitment that if oil prices move up above $70, we're limiting our growth to no increase this year, and next year, 5%. So I've been asked the question, if it goes to $80 or $90, is it it's more money in the investor's pocket? Analyst. Real discipline provides reason to be bullish on prices. By Mel McEwen. Continued optimism about economies around the globe, including the U.S., reopening in the aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic, provided support for crude prices this week. Bloomberg reported prices posted their third weekly gain. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange posted 4 days of gains that were almost wiped out by a nearly 4% plunge of $2.26 on Thursday. Prices rebounded to $1.55 Friday to close at $65.37, up from $64.92 at Monday's close. The posted price ended the week at $61.85, according to Plains All American. Natural gas futures and the New York MEX also gained this week, despite starting the week with a 2.6% drop and a 1.2% decline Friday that sent prices to $2.96 per MCF. Prices closed higher than the $2.93 at Monday's close. John Paisley, president of Stratus Advisors, LLC, told the reporter Telegram that crude prices have been performing pretty much as the consulting company expects. We expect crude prices to move pretty much sideways with an upward bias, he told the reporter Telegram. While the recent shutdown of the Colonial Pipeline had a temporary impact on prices, he said there have been no surprises in price performance. We've been bullish on the oil prices throughout the recovery. We expect demand to bounce back faster than expected. Supplies are well managed, and there's been no change in U.S. output for the last 10 months or so. We're seeing some rig activity, but it's well below 2019 levels, and some is just for maintenance. There's been real discipline. His company's most recent price forecast is for West Texas Intermediate to average around $65.75 this summer through August, before moving lower to average $61.65 by December. Brent prices, the global benchmark, is forecast to be above $70 next year, with WTI, the U.S. benchmark, not far behind at about $67 before ending 2022 slightly lower. He pointed to Pioneer Natural Resources as an example of being disciplined and returning cash to shareholders, and said he hopes other shale operators will follow that example. Shale operators are beginning to realize that they have to sell the barrels they produce, and there is only so much barrels that can be sold. They're beginning to understand it's a global market, and they can't just keep producing barrels. Someone has to buy them. It's that discipline that will be the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and allied nations keep their output structure in place and not unleash more barrels in an effort to regain market share. It's critical that OPEC Plus framework remain in place. That's the linchpin. There are concerns about the return of Iranian crude if the U.S. removes sanctions, in part because Iran is forging deals to ship its crude to China. That could prompt other OPEC Plus countries to want to increase their exports, challenging Saudi Arabia to keep the agreement in place. Russia could also use its oil production in a way to push back against the U.S. Pacey said, though he said Russia would be shooting itself in the foot if it did so. Also boosting prices is a U.S. economy that appears to be thriving as the nation leads the world in vaccinations. There is also the flood of liquidity from government stimulus funds and a very accommodative monetary policy of quantitative easing and low interest rates. Pacey said, listed some concerns that could impact oil prices, beginning with inflation, though he said Stratus's view is that inflation concerns are overhyped about what they mean for the market. There's not a lot of pressure from the market to do something about inflation. The pandemic remains a concern, not so much in the U.S., but other countries, he said. Europe vaccinations lag the U.S., but are catching up. But there are serious outbreaks in Asia, from India to Singapore to Japan. If the world is able to move past the pandemic and bring on demand as the company expects, and crude products inventories come back to normal, he said oil prices should meet the company's forecast. Buckner works with state to house foster children displaced, by Caitlin Randall. Nonprofit Buckner International is working with the state to temporarily house foster children who would otherwise be sleeping in offices at Child Protective Services buildings because of overcrowding in the foster care system. Buckner will be housing 32 children statewide between the ages of 14 and 17 and up to 4 children in Midland, according to Jennifer Bernal, the Midland Foster Care and Adoption Supervisor. The children in Midland will stay at a Buckner campus apartment with 2 Texas Department of Family Protection Services officials, Bernal said. The apartment is fully furnished and stocked with clean linens and food. The apartments and campus homes that we were providing within Buckner is an apartment-type setting and a home setting, so there are individual bedrooms and private bathrooms for them to use and game systems. They have that feeling of a home environment. There are more than 31,000 children currently in Texas's foster care system, and about 200 of those children have spent at least 2 nights sleeping in CPS offices. That's additional trauma that our kids are having, she said, of sleeping in office buildings, because it's an unknown area. It's very temporary. It's not somewhere that resembles a home. It's just office space. Buckner has signed an agreement with the state to house children for 9 months with the potential to extend that agreement. She said the children may stay at the apartments for anywhere from 1 night to 2 weeks, depending on when they are either reunited with family members or other permanent housing is found. But housing the children with Buckner is only a temporary solution to a flawed foster care system. Chris Ruth, director of public relations, said the state legislature is considering several bills to help solve overcrowding, including plans to increase foster care privatization, increase placement capacity, reallocate funding, and expand the use of community-based care models. Bernal said the solution starts within the community, with residents considering becoming foster parents, especially to older children who aren't often able to find permanent homes. It's our children and our community, she said. It's all of our responsibility, and our community is only stronger when we work together. Bernal advised those who are considering becoming foster parents to attend an informal session with their local agency. She said there are also opportunities available about becoming a licensed foster home, including through volunteering or becoming a respite family. More information can be found at buckner.org/children-need-homes. Summer events and camps offered for kids and families, by J.C. Lewis. The following is a roundup of summer camps and events for children and families this summer. To have a summer camp added, email JC at jlewis@mrt.com. Church-based. The Gathering Church's Adventures Program, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3303 West Illinois. There will be theme weeks with coordinating activities, for example, video game week, during which one of the days we will have the rolling video game trailer on site. The cost is $85 per week, online at mygathering.church/adventures.html. Camp in the City at First Baptist Church of Midland, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., July 5th through the 9th, at 2104 West Louisiana. A day camp for children who will be entering first through sixth grades next school year. Tickets are $310. Details at fbc-midland.org/events. Online registration is at campinthecity.com. Wonder Girls 2021, July 12th through the 16th, Crossroads Church, Odessa, for girls entering grades 5th through 8th. Camp details, application, volunteer opportunities, and more will be available through the Crisis Center of West Texas, online at ccwtx.org. Museum Arts and Organizations. Family Fridays, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Fridays in June and July, Museum of the Southwest. The museum will have come-and-go activities based on themes of creativity and learning for all ages. Summer Theater School at Midland Community Theater will host Friendship, Footlights, and Fun. The camp is presented in two sessions, one June 7th through 17th, two June 21st to July 1st. Both sessions are different and available for grades kindergarten through sixth grade. Classes are Monday through Thursday from 9 to noon, online at mctmidland.org/education/. Petroleum Museum Summer Camps, 8 a.m. to noon, June 9th through the 11th, June 16th through the 18th, June 23rd through the 25th, July 5th through 8th, and July 19th through 22, for ages 8 to 12 years old. Cost of camps is $60 for members and $75 for non-members. Pre-registration is required. Online at petroleummuseum.org/summer-activities. Ellen Noel Art Museum Art Camps. The museum has scheduled 4 weeks of camp for children 6 to 12 years old with different subjects, including painting, 3D design, ceramics. Class hours are 9:15 a.m. to noon. Teenagers 13 to 17 can check out the Teen Artist Residency Program. This one-week intensive summer art program offers a unique art experience in a museum setting, working with ceramic artist Dakin Asakawa. Students must apply and be accepted to the program. Applications can be found on the museum's website, noelartmuseum.org/programs, and are due by May 24th. Early registration for ENMAM members has begun. Registration opens to the public May 17th. Midland Festival Ballet will host camps and classes for dancers age 3 and older. MFB programs give dancers at every level the chance to grow, learn, and have fun this summer. Camps include Princess Ballet camps for ages 3 to 4 years old, Junior Ballet camps ages 5 to 6, Summer Ballet classes for dancers placed in Ballet 2, Ballet 4 for Fall 2021, beginning Point Intensive for dancers placed in Ballet 5 for Fall 2021, and Advanced Intensives for dancers placed in Ballet 6 and Academy for Fall 2021. Online at MidlandFestivalBallet.org. Summer Programs. The Studio Summer Art Camp, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Thursday from May 31st to July 31st. Camp activities include paint, slime, and other messy activities, as well as games and crafts. Weekly registration is $160 per child. Daily drop-in rates are available Monday through Friday at $45 per day. Children ages 4 to 14 are welcome to attend. Themes include Weird Science and Slime Week, Survivor Imperial Island Week, Marvel Superheroes and Heroines Week, Enchanted Week, Outlaw and Wild West Week, Sci-Fi and Space Week, Gamer Week, Shark Week, and Harry Potter Week. Bush Tennis Center Sports Camp has availability for Sessions 5, July 19th to 22. There are half day camp hath and day camps available. For more information or to register, email Sandra at bushtenniscenter.org or call 620-8180. The Little Gym of Midland will be offering day camps. Parents can choose their child's adventure between summer quest camps for ages 3 to 8 or grade school skill thrill for ages 6 to 12. Prices starting at $28 per session. Online at thelittlegym.com/MidlandTexas-parties-camps. Summer camp at YMCA. Monday after school lets out. For children 4 to 12 years old that have completed the first year of MISD or private schooling. Fun activities include swimming lessons, field trips, arts and crafts, playing in the gym, indoor and outdoor games. Online at MidlandYMCA.org/childcare/summer camp. Kids College at Midland College. First session, June 7 to 17. Second session, June 21st to July 1st. The camps will be scaled down from the regular program. Enrollment limit will be 12 students per class, 2 class maximum per student. Face coverings are required. Social distancing will be enforced in classrooms, under tents and walking between classes. Online at midland.edu/continuingEd/kidscollege. COM Aquatics will offer summer camps. Registration for the first session begins May 28th. Summer camp schedule begins June 1st. Online at comaquatics.com. Tiny Tykes Summer Camps by Challenger Sports Soccer Camps, June 21st to 25th. Ages 3 to 5. Spots are $100. Online at activityhero.com/biz/challenger. Norman Elites Summer Camp will be offering speed and agility training camps for ages 4 to 12. Session 1, May 31st to June 17th. Session 2, June 28th to July 15th. The sessions include training, teamwork, character building, and more. Online at normanlite.com/home.php. Community Calendar. Meetings. Planning and Zoning, 3:30 p.m. Monday, Council Chamber, City Hall, 300 North Lorain. Midland ISD, 5:30 p.m. Monday, Bowie Fine Arts Academy, 805 Elk Avenue. Midland College, 4 p.m. Tuesday, Scarborough Sports Center, Carrasco Room, 3600 North Garfield. Gathering Church Food Distribution. The Gathering Church and the Permian Basin Oil and Energy Ministry are hosting a pop-up food distribution event Saturday at the Gathering Church in Midland, 3303 West Illinois. Families are experiencing hardship are welcome to come and receive free food, baby care supplies, and other items for their household. Distribution will begin at 9 a.m. and continue until supplies last. City of Midland Aquatics will hold its community day on Saturday, May from 8 to 11. That day, adults interested can take advantage of six-week adult memberships for $25 and have access to all adult programs COM offers. From 2 to 4 p.m., kids can have a fun two hours at the pool, take part in COM swim and dive team tryouts, and have access to discounts for junior camps and swim or dive team memberships. Mineral Gym and Mineral Society's Outdoor Market, 2021, 9 to 4 p.m., May 22nd, 602 South Main. The public is invited, admission is free, and masks are required. MG&Ms will sell geodes to be cut as the purchaser watches, and there will be a grab bags, rock slabs, and minerals. Vendors will be selling silver and turquoise jewelry, chain mail, wire-wrapped gemstones, fossils, macrame, tie-dye, polymer clay, and more. Online at midlandgemandmineral.org. Phone 638-6992. Victory Run and Walk with Midland Rockhounds and Gifts of Hope, 7 to 10 a.m. Saturday, Momentum Bank Ballpark. Call Gifts of Hope at 218-8714. League of Women Voters, annual meeting, 6:30 p.m. Monday. Basin and Brews and Chews, June 5th, Beer Garden. Keys for Hope Day, Shoot Fundraiser, benefiting Gifts of Hope, June 18th, Midland Shooters Association. Windy City Golf Tournament, 8 a.m., June 18th, Hogan Park, a senior life event. Keys for Hope Dinner and Cocktails, featuring dueling pianos and Felix and Fingers, June 18th, Bush Convention Center. Call Gifts of Hope at 432-218-8714. Trains, Grains, and Tomatoes, 2 p.m., July 8th, Centennial Library. Community Fest, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., July 23rd, 24th, MLK Community Center. Permian Basin Gives, Tuesday, a one-day giving event encouraging area residents to give to nonprofits, online at permianbasingives.org. Big Shoot for Casa Clay Shoot, 8 a.m., May 22nd, Jake's Clay. Kids Farmers Market, 10 a.m., June 5th, West Texas Food Bank. Center's Classic Golf Tournament, 1 p.m., June 8th, Ranchland Hills Golf Club. Aim to End Hunger for West Texas Food Bank, 8 a.m., June 10th, Midland Shooters Association. Show of Support, Clay Shoot, July 30th, Windwalker Farms. Mike Ryan Band, 7 p.m. Saturday, La Hacienda Event Center. An Evening with Voctive, part of the Phyllis and Bob Cowan Performing Arts Series, Tuesday, Midland College. Contact Midland College Foundation at foundation.midland.edu or 685-4526 to reserve tickets. John Wolfe with Nolan Sotillo, 8 p.m., May 20th, Rockin' Rodeo. Riley Green, 7 p.m., May 21st, La Hacienda Event Center. Cody Hibbert, 8 p.m., May 21st, Rusty Bucket Barbecue and Tavern. West Texas Blowout, May 22nd at the Horseshoe. E.T. the Extraterrestrial in Concert by Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale, 7:30 p.m., May 22nd, Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Tickets are $30 to $50. Nuestro Legado, Our Legacy, 2021 recital, 6:30 p.m., May 23rd, Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Chris Knight, 8 p.m., May 28th, Rucky Bucket BBQ and Tavern. Reed South Hall Band, 8 p.m., June 3rd, Rusty Bucket BBQ and Tavern. Los Dos Carnales, 7 p.m., June 4th, La Hacienda Event Center. Robert Earl Keene, 8 p.m., June 5th, Rusty Bucket BBQ and Tavern. Cody Johnson, June 11th, The Horseshoe. Cesar Analis Law, Mextex Family Fiesta, June 12th, Centennial Park. Kyle Park, 8 p.m., June 12th, Rusty Bucket Barbecue and Tavern. Grupo Legitimo, 8 p.m., June 18th, La Hacienda Event Center. Josh Abbott Band, 7 p.m., June 18th, La Hacienda Event Center. Cedric the Entertainer, 7 p.m., June 19th, Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. ZZ Top, 8 p.m., June 25th, Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Matt Kimbrough, 8 p.m., June 26th, Rusty Bucket Barbecue and Tavern. Colby Cooper, 8 p.m., Rusty Bucket Barbecue and Tavern on July 2nd. Aaron Lewis, 7 p.m., July 3rd, La Hacienda Event Center. The Bellamy Brothers, 7:30 p.m., July 17th, Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Celebration of the Arts, July 2021, July 16 to 18 at the Basin Convention Center. Healing Yoga for People Recuperating from Cancer, 5:30 p.m. Monday, Yoga Sanctuary, 4202 Dawn Circle. Downtown Farmers Markets, 8 a.m. to noon, Saturday, the Museum of the Southwest. Family Fridays, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., June 4th, June 11th, June 18th, June 25th, July 9th, July 16th, and July 23rd at the Museum of the Southwest. Parks Legato, Farmers Market, 8 a.m. to noon, June 12th, July 10th, August 14th, and September 11th, Parks Legato Town Center. The dates and locations for the movies in the park will be Croods New Age, May 21st, Centennial Park, Sonic the Hedgehog, June 4th, Hill Park, Allen, June 18th, Dennis the Menace Park, Frozen 2, July 19th, CJ Kelly Park, Onward, July 23rd, Beale Park. Trolls World Tour, August 6th, Hogan Park. And Toy Story 4, August 20th, Centennial Park. Each movie will start at dusk. Don't forget your lawn chairs. For a complete list of movies in the park, please visit MidlandTexas.gov/movies. Midlanders shouldn't simply tolerate marginalized people. I teach a course on social psychology at the University, UTPB. This semester we discussed suicide, mass murder, radicalization, and lynching. When you examine this research, two themes emerge. First, violence is a social contagion. For example, one finds patterns of violence when examining lynching atrocities that occurred throughout Georgia. If mapped, they spread geographically and in close temporal proximity. When a person was lynched in one community, it increased the likelihood that someone else would be lynched nearby. More recently, you can see this pattern with mass shooting events. People aren't necessarily copying one another, but when one atrocity occurs, the next one is more salient and more mentally accessible. Violence becomes not only an option, but also a common one. The second theme is a loss of significance. This means that a person has lost meaning in life, lost a crucial aspect of self that is central to one's identity. Loss of significance means a person may have been rejected or ostracized from a group, lost his or her job, or made to feel worthless. Loss of significance is an incredibly strong predictor of violence. It makes one vulnerable to suicide, extremism, and radicalization. Understanding this point makes it clear how to be a good community member. One needs to support and help raise up others. This is why I was so saddened to read the article in the MRT published on April 19th. The Midland Public Library last June removed a pride display that proudly announced to LBGTQ youth, "You belong." Apparently, County Judge Terry Johnson told the library director, Debbie Garza, to take the display down after receiving complaints. The Trevor Project, an organization that serves to prevent suicide in LBGTQ youth, publishes statistics based on their research each year. Compared to heterosexual youth, LBG youth are 5 times more likely to attempt suicide. This is startling, given that attempted suicide for those 13 to 24 is on the rise. Further, 40% of transgender youth have attempted suicide. Finally, at least 44 transgender people were murdered last year alone. Suicide, murder, and violence in a community can become contagious. More commonly, prejudice and discrimination can become contagious and normative. A sneer at one's neighbor makes it easier for one's child to sneer at a fellow classmate. One put down, off-color joke, or complaint about an encouraging pride display makes it easier for others to bully and harass those in our community. Marginalized people, including racial, gender, and sexual minorities, don't need to be tolerated in Midland. They need to be acknowledged as people of worth. They deserve to be treated as people of significance. Signed, Jamie Hughes, Ph.D. Jim Crow label fits Georgia voting laws. Recently, Jonah Goldberg of the Tribune Content Agency critiqued media condemnation of changes to Georgia's voting laws. He disputes these changes as a return to Jim Crow. Jim Crow criticism doesn't fit. Midland Reporter Telegram, April 13th. Jim Crow maintained white supremacy by the systematic enforcement of nonviolent legislation and violent suppression in post-Civil War America. He says these new voting laws represent only one element of the Jim Crow era, so they can't be characterized as a return to Jim Crow. The Jim Crow label is unwarranted and does not fit. The Georgia voting laws supposedly safeguard election integrity, despite baseless, overwhelming claims of voter fraud in the 2020 election record turnout. The laws are a solution in search of a problem. The changes effectively reduce the political power of Georgia's urban voters who tend to vote Democratic. First, they prohibit mailing every registered voter an unsolicited absentee mail-in ballot. The new law requires voters to request a ballot. Second, for those who receive a mail-in ballot, the number of urban ballot drop boxes is reduced to one for approximately 100,000 voters. Third, Georgia voting laws undercut election integrity. Voter intent can be overturned or canceled by the state election board that is appointed by the Georgia Assembly. The election board can fire municipal and county election officials based on performance or violation of board rules, and then appoint replacements. These replacements can evaluate and overturn election results. If the objective of the Georgia GOP is the perpetuation of historic Jim Crow repression of black voters, Mr. Goldberg says, that would be bad. That would be worthy of criticism, but it still wouldn't mean that this is a return to Jim Crow. It would mean that the Georgia GOP has gotten itself into a panic that the state is trending Democratic and is acting out of desperation to stay in power. Maintaining power by restricting voter access or overturning election results is worthy of criticism and is un-American. Remember, Jim Crow laws are about power. Jim Crow, in part, is still Jim Crow. This is most certainly true. Signed, Fred Benkin. Poem honors our West Texas home. This is where the green grass grows. This place has everything, referenced in the Tim McGraw song, minus the river that flows. This is a fulfilling place to live that most folks will never get to know. This place is a dreary curse to some, yet a blessing to others. This place has a sky so vast, wide open spaces plays every time I look up. With majestic sunrises and mesmerizing sunsets, this place is often called God's country. This place will make a man and expose a boy. This place can see a man fall, then reward him for his irrefutable rise. This place is something I rushed back to via the first available Greyhound when I realized that the place I was born was no longer home. This place is colloquially called West Texas. Jim Buchanan.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, May 15th, 2021. TxDOT launches awareness campaign. The number of traffic crashes throughout 2020 declined. However, the number of fatalities overall and deaths from people in Texas not wearing seatbelts saw a spike. To spread awareness, the Texas Department of Transportation, TxDOT, has launched a seatbelt education and enforcement campaign statewide this week. Last year, the simple act of buckling up saved many Texans from death or serious injuries. Unfortunately, in 2020, there was a 16% increase in deaths of unbuckled motorists. There were 1,073 fatalities in 2020 and 926 fatalities in 2019 due to people not wearing seatbelts. Odessa District of TxDOT Public Information Officer Gene Powell said that in this district, which includes 12 counties, there were 42 deaths and 79 serious injuries last year. I'm not saying that a seatbelt will save every life, but it sure saves most of them, Powell said. If we can reduce that 42 by any amount, then it's well worth it. We know that people in pickups are less likely to wear seatbelts, and that's what we have out here, a bunch of pickups. If you're involved in a rollover accident and you don't have a seatbelt on and you get ejected, you don't have much of a chance to survive. We see way too many of those in our district. According to a press release from TxDOT, putting on a seatbelt can reduce the risk of dying by up to 45% for people in the front seat of passenger cars and up to 60% for people in pickup trucks. From May 24th through June 6th, the summer driving season will start up and families will be out on the roads for Memorial Day weekend. The release states that Texas officers and deputies will step up enforcement of the state's seatbelt and child car seat laws. What happens between those dates is stepped up enforcement, and this is not a gotcha so we can raise money. This is a reminder to save your life or the life of a loved one, Powell said. The law enforcement will step up enforcement of seatbelts and issue tickets for violations. We have grants through TxDOT to help pay for overtime for some agencies, so we have more cops on the road longer, looking for seatbelt violations and other things as well. It's not about the fine. It's not a money-raising campaign, because TxDOT doesn't get any of that money. It's about saving lives and safety and reminding people that a seatbelt can be the difference between a fatality and walking away. As far as fatalities from not wearing seatbelts this year in Odessa, Powell said there is already a handful. In Odessa, there were 9 fatalities and 11 serious injuries, Powell said. Compare that to Midland, where they only had 1 fatality and 9 serious injuries. So obviously, for whatever reason, we have a bigger problem in Odessa. Powell said he wasn't sure what the reason was for the high number of fatalities in Odessa. Something's not right, Powell said. We're not wearing our seatbelts. Is it laziness? Is it arrogance? It's hard to know why it happens. It just seems like we don't want to wear our masks and we don't want to wear our seatbelts. We don't want to do anything to protect ourselves. It doesn't make much sense to me. OPA Recruits Fine-Tune Driving Techniques by Royal McGregor. Recruits for the 22nd session of the Odessa Police Academy spent Friday morning speaking with members of the media and honing their professional driving abilities. OPA's professional driving course was set in the Ratliff Stadium parking lot. Taylor Martin, 21, of Odessa, said this hands-on training is important to keep themselves and the public safe as they practice responding to calls for service. We are ensuring that when we go to calls that we're doing it as safely as possible, Martin said of the professional driving training. We want to keep the community safe and not put anyone in danger while we are trying to go and help somebody. Caitlin Hogan, 22, of Monahans, graduated in December from the University of Texas Permian Basin with a master's degree in criminal justice administration. She also received her undergraduate degree in psychology from UTPB. Hogan graduated from Monahans High School in 2017. Though she feels pretty comfortable with the academic training, Hogan said the biggest obstacle for her is the physicality of the OPA. Yet, she explained that she feels better as each week passes. The academy part isn't as bad, but getting to do more physical stuff has been different, she said. It has been good, though. We have really good instructors who help you through everything. Martin graduated from Permian High School in 2018, and upon graduation, he started with the Odessa Police Department as a recruit intern. According to the City of Odessa, recruit intern is an entry-level position for non-certified police officer applicants. The entire responsibility of an individual in this job is to successfully complete orientation and the Law Enforcement Academy in order to become a certified police officer. Martin said he feels fortunate to be able to work at OPD prior to joining the academy. I helped around the police department and just tried to learn as much as I could before joining the academy, he said. OPA recruits will continue their field training with firearms training June 3rd. Planet Troopers. Keep Odessa Beautiful is inviting children ages 8 to 12 to participate in the Planet Troopers cleanup event June 1st through 11th. The celebration for the fifth year, hosted by First Basin Credit Union, will take place from 9 a.m. to noon, June 12th, at La Margarita Festival Grounds, 1261 West Monahans. There will be food, fun activities, and door prizes. To register and for guidelines, visit https://go.usa.gov/XHA6X. For more information, email kob@odessa-tx.gov. Quick hits. Good Vibrations. Odessa High School Bronco Legacy presents Good Vibrations at 7:30 p.m. today at Odessa High School Performing Arts Center, 1301.C. Tickets are available at ohschoir.ludus.com and at the door. Support Group. Rays of Hope Children's Grief Center is a community outreach of Hospice of Midland. The center serves children and adolescents aged 4 to 18 years who have experienced a loss due to death, divorce, separation, incarceration, deployment, foster care, or other painful transitions. All services are provided free of charge. For more information, call 684-5437. On the net, tinyurl.com/y6rl3xck.
Analyst, real discipline provides reason to be bullish on prices, by Mella McEwen. Continued optimism about economies around the globe, including the U.S., reopening in the aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic, provided support for crude prices this week. Bloomberg reported prices posted their third weekly gain. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange posted 4 days of gains that were almost wiped out by a nearly 4% plunge of $2.26 on Thursday. Prices rebounded to $1.55 Friday to close at $65.37, up from $64.92 at Monday's close. The posted price ended the week at $61.85, according to Plains All American. Natural gas futures and the New York MEX also gained this week, despite starting the week with a 2.6% drop and a 1.2% decline Friday that sent prices to $2.96 per MCF. Prices closed higher than the $2.93 at Monday's close. John Paisley, president of Stratus Advisors, LLC, told the reporter Telegram that crude prices have been performing pretty much as the consulting company expects. We expect crude prices to move pretty much sideways with an upward bias, he told the reporter Telegram. While the recent shutdown of the Colonial Pipeline had a temporary impact on prices, he said there have been no surprises in price performance. We've been bullish on the oil prices throughout the recovery. We expect demand to bounce back faster than expected. Supplies are well managed, and there's been no change in U.S. output for the last 10 months or so. We're seeing some rig activity, but it's well below 2019 levels, and some is just for maintenance. There's been real discipline. His company's most recent price forecast is for West Texas Intermediate to average around $65.75 this summer through August, before moving lower to average $61.65 by December. Brent prices, the global benchmark, is forecast to be above $70 next year, with WTI, the U.S. benchmark, not far behind at about $67 before ending 2022 slightly lower. He pointed to Pioneer Natural Resources as an example of being disciplined and returning cash to shareholders, and said he hopes other shale operators will follow that example. Shale operators are beginning to realize that they have to sell the barrels they produce, and there is only so much barrels that can be sold. They're beginning to understand it's a global market, and they can't just keep producing barrels. Someone has to buy them. It's that discipline that will be the organization of petroleum exporting countries and allied nations keep their output structure in place and not unleash more barrels in an effort to regain market share. It's critical that OPEC Plus framework remain in place. That's the linchpin. There are concerns about the return of Iranian crude if the U.S. removes sanctions, in part because Iran is forging deals to ship its crude to China. That could prompt other OPEC Plus countries to want to increase their exports, challenging Saudi Arabia to keep the agreement in place. Russia could also use its oil production in a way to push back against the U.S., Private Pacey said, though he said Russia would be shooting itself in the foot if it did so. Also boosting prices is a U.S. economy that appears to be thriving as the nation leads the world in vaccinations. There is also the flood of liquidity from government stimulus funds and a very accommodative monetary policy of quantitative easing and low interest rates. Pacey said, listed some concerns that could impact oil prices, beginning with inflation, though he said Stratus's view is that inflation concerns are overhyped about what they mean for the market. There's not a lot of pressure from the market to do something about inflation. The pandemic remains a concern, not so much in the U.S., but other countries, he said. Europe vaccinations lag the U.S. but are catching up, but there are serious outbreaks in Asia, from India to Singapore to Japan. If the world is able to move past the pandemic and bring on demand as the company expects, and crude products inventories come back to normal, he said oil prices should meet the company's forecast.
Obituaries for Saturday, May 15th. Maria Elena Fernandez. Maria Elena Fernandez passed away at her home in Odessa, May 9th, at the age of 62. She was born in Las Varas, Saucillo, Chihuahua, Mexico, March 24th, 1959, to Maria Socorro Ramirez and the late Jose Corral. She married Victor Fernandez in 1984. Maria Elena is survived by her husband, Victor, of Odessa, son Richard and wife Jody Fernandez of Odessa, daughter Esther Fernandez of Odessa, three grandchildren, her mother Maria Socorro Ramirez of Chihuahua, brothers Natividad Corral Ramirez, Roberto Corral Ramirez, Mario Corral Ramirez, Jose Corral Ramirez, Jesus Corral Ramirez, sisters Luz Maria Corral Ramirez, Guadalupe Corral Ramirez, all of Chihuahua, Mexico, and loving nieces, nephews, and other relatives. She is preceded in death by her father, Jose Corral. Visitation will be held at Odessa Funeral Home in Odessa, May 16th, from 5 to 9 p.m. A funeral service will be held at Odessa Funeral Home May 17th at 2 p.m. with Dan Johnson officiating. Interment will follow at Ector County Cemetery. After the funeral, a reception will be hosted by Emmett Hatora, 3319 North Golder, at 4 p.m. Hector E. Murua. Hector Murua of Odessa passed away May 10th. He was born June 9th, 1978, in Los Mochis, Mexico. He married Maria Garcia in 2002. Hector is survived by his wife Maria and daughter Mia. His parents, Maria Lydia Medina and Jose Murua Romero. Siblings Teodora Andrea Murua, Jose Humberto Murua, and Erendira Murua, Luis Enrique Murua, Juan Carlos Murua, Elizabeth Murua, and Jesus Alberto Murua. Funeral services will be held today, Saturday, May 15th, at the Church of Latter-day Saints in Andrews, with graveside following at the Andrews North Cemetery. The family will receive guests from 5 to 8 p.m. and on Friday and Saturday, May 15th, from 10 to 12 p.m., from 10 a.m. to 12 noon at the Andrews Caldwell Funeral Home in Andrews. Gloria T. Menchaca. Gloria T. Menchaca, 87, of Odessa, passed away May 10th. She was born in Burney, July 12, 1933, to the late Jose Tejerina and Olivia Ortega. Gloria is survived by her children, Isabel Luna of Odessa, Sylvia M. Menchaca, and husband Noemi Chavez Menchaca of Odessa, and a son, Frank Menchaca of Odessa, her brother, Roy Tejerina, and wife, Linda, of Odessa, sister Olga Perez of Amarillo, Angie and husband Fernando of San Antonio, 7 grandchildren, 14 great-grandchildren, and 7 great-great-grandchildren. She is preceded in death by her husband Tomas R. Menchaca, her parents Jose and Olivia O. Tejerina, her son Richard Menchaca, and a sister Adela T. Menchaca. Gloria will be in state Saturday, May 15th from 9 to 5 p.m., Sunday, May 16th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Visitation will be held at Odessa Funeral Home Monday, May 17th from 5 to 9 p.m., Rosary at 7 p.m. Mass will be held Tuesday, May 18th, at St. Anthony's Catholic Church at 10 a.m. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Death notices. Petra Miranda Baca. Petra Miranda Baca, 95, of Odessa, died Tuesday, May 11th. Mass will be celebrated at 9 a.m. Saturday, May 15th at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. Burial following at Ector County Cemetery, Peaceful Gardens section. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home of Odessa. R.B. Thomason. R.B. Thomason, 88, of Big Spring, died Wednesday, May 12th. Graveside service will be held at 9 a.m. May 17th at Sunset Memorial Gardens.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.